A very good morning to you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. And I would also like to invite all of us to join for teas and coffees at our church hall to my left after the service. In case there are people here who don't know, in the course of the week, I was praying for King Charles III at the St. Giles Cathedral. What a moment and what an experience. It is what Philip described as a stirring appearance at St. Giles. So your pastor is a star. And we want to thank God for that service and for all the experience, for the new people we encountered. And I even gave an interview to the BBC. So Newport is in the spotlight. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace this morning, acknowledging our shortcomings and our sins. We confess that we have been guilty of looking back and holding back from fully embracing the cost of discipleship. We have sometimes failed to serve the needs of others, allowing the distractions and comforts of our lives to hinder us. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of compassion and our failure to promptly respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We also confess our struggles with procrastination and the spirit of laziness. We admit that we have not always used our time and resources wisely, neglecting the tasks and assignments you have entrusted to us. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of diligence and our failure to accomplish what you have set before us. In your abundant grace, O God, cleanse us from our sins and renew within us a fervent desire to be true disciples. Help us to serve others selflessly, to react promptly when prompted by the Holy Spirit, and to have a forward-looking spirit that aligns with your plans and purposes. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Boys and girls, good morning. Are there any children in church? Yes. Good man. How are we today? Good? Are you enjoying the holy days? What have you been doing so far?
I visited my gran.
You visited your gran?
Yes.
Have you been doing anything at all? Maybe just running around, playing. This morning I want to talk about excuses. Have you ever been absent from school? Have you ever been absent from school? Now, when you are absent from school, usually your parents or your parent will write to the school telling them why you are absent, right? And sometimes the reasons for absences are not convincing at all. Some of them may even be funny. Now, I wrote down some, and I want to share with you this morning. Take, for example, please excuse Joe for being absent. I forgot to wake him up, and I did not find him until I started making the beds. By then, it was too late for him to go to school. Or take another one. John didn't come to school yesterday because he was feeling like he was going to be sick. Thankfully, he wasn't. There is another one. Please excuse Jane's absence from school. It was take your daughter to work day. Since I don't have a job, I made her stay home and do some homework. One more. Please excuse Mary for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch. And when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday. So excuses are not new. People always make excuses. I do too sometimes. When I get up on Monday morning, or when I don't want to get up early in the morning on Monday, since it's my off day, I usually say to myself, well, it's off day for me. I don't need to get up early. And I just go on sleeping. Can you remember any excuses you've made sometimes not to go to school? Or you've been good boys and girls, always going to school? Now I'll tell you a story about excuses in the Bible. One day Jesus Christ was walking with his disciples, and then he met somebody. The person said he was going to follow him. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but he, the Son of Man, does not have a place to lay his head." And while he was moving, he saw another man and he said to the man, "Follow me." The man said, "Well, can you give me time to go back and bury my father? Then I will come and follow you." We don't even know whether the man's father was dead. Probably he was looking after the father and wanted to have time to spend with the father and wait until the father passed on before he would come to follow Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach about the kingdom." Then he met another man, and the man said, "I will follow you, but first, let me go home and take permission from my family, or say goodbye to my family." And Jesus Christ told him that no one who puts his hand to the plow and starts looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. All these three instances, these people were making excuses. I don't know why there are only two of you in church today. Maybe the others have made excuses not to come. And that's what all of us do. We are called to do something. Even at home, we make an excuse. Sometimes we pretend that we are sick if we don't want to work, to do chores, or if we don't want to be sent. Every time people are making excuses. But Jesus Christ has called us to be his followers, and he wants us to be committed followers. And coming to church every Sunday is one of the ways that we prove and show that we are willing to follow Jesus. Let us stop making excuses and let us continue to follow Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our lives, for the love that you have for us, and we thank you for Christian discipleship. We thank you for our young children, and as they grow, O Father, we trust that they continue to grow in faith. Help them, O Father, to be focused in what they are doing, to continue to follow your leadership as you guide all of us in this journey of faith. And forgive us for times when we've made excuses because we did not want to do what you call us to do. May we be committed followers now and always. Amen. Our next team, we are marching in the light of God. We will sing twice.
Our first reading today is from the Old Testament, first book of Kings, chapter 19. First book of Kings, chapter 19, at verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. And the second reading is from the New Testament, Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, reading from verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Amen. Here ends the lessons, and may the Lord bless them to us. We come to our next hymn, which is number 489, "Come Down, O Love Divine."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, as we come before you in prayer and reflection, we turn to the words of the Gospel of St. Luke in chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, and ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us. Open our hearts and minds to understand the costs of discipleship and the significance of looking forward, leaving behind the hindrances of the past. Enlighten our souls with the truth contained in these verses that we may be empowered to be true disciples in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to speak to you this morning on the cost of discipleship. Looking back is holding back. And there are three major topics or subjects, three points that I want to dwell on. The first is counting the cost. In the New Testament lesson that William read to us, in the first encounter mentioned in the passage, Jesus said to the man, "Follow me." But before he could respond, Jesus added, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What did Jesus mean by this? Was he discouraging home ownership or material stability? No. Jesus Christ wanted to emphasize the level of commitment and sacrifice required by his disciples. By using this analogy, Jesus highlighted that following him might mean forsaking personal comfort and security. He was not suggesting that we should avoid having homes or possessions, but rather, he wanted us to understand that discipleship calls for placing our devotion to him above all else. We are called to be mindful of our attachment to material things. We may be called to give up certain comforts and luxuries instead to prioritize the needs of others or to support charitable causes. Following Jesus Christ involves putting others before ourselves. This may mean personal ambitions and desires being sacrificed, or even preferences being sacrificed in order to serve and to love others selflessly. And the second thing from the text is what I will call seizing the crucial moment. The second encounter presents a man who asked for permission to bury his father before following Jesus. And Jesus Christ responded, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." At first, I think Jesus' words may seem harsh, but his point was to emphasize the significance of seizing the crucial moment. In life, there are moments when action is essential. And if we miss those opportunities, they may never come again. The man in the story felt a stirring in his heart to escape his spiritually dead surroundings. But if he delayed, he might never find the freedom he sought. Likewise, we must not procrastinate when prompted to act in obedience or make a difference in the lives of others. Psychologists teach us that every time we have a noble feeling or a prompting from the spirit and fail to act upon it, the likelihood of acting on it diminishes. We must be aware of the moments when God calls us to step out in faith and respond with wholehearted devotion. And the third and final point I call looking ahead with steadfast commitment. Finally, Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Looking back while plowing would lead to a crooked path. Similarly, as disciples of Christ, we must keep our focus fixed on Him without allowing distractions or the pull of our past to hinder our progress. To truly follow Jesus, we must have an unwavering commitment, leaving behind the old patterns of our lives and embracing the newness found in Him. It requires courage to let go of the comfortable but spiritually dead areas of our lives and press forward into the abundant life that only Christ can offer. But as disciples of Christ, our Christianity must also have an impact and influence in ourselves and in our communities. Often, this is not the case. That is why noted historian Thomas Reeves commented that Christianity in contemporary Western cultures is in large part innocuous. It tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice, discipline, humility, an otherworldly outlook, a zeal for souls, a fear, as well as love of God. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God did not save us solely so that we could go to heaven. He calls and commands us to have an impact here on earth as well. When we trade the shame of the cross of Christ for the plaudits and acceptance of men and women, we have forfeited the power to shake the world. Far better to be despised and even persecuted than to live a life without making a difference for God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 14:27, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." As we reflect on Luke 9:57-62, we realize that the cost of discipleship is high, but the rewards are immeasurable. Jesus Christ invites us to follow him, but he wants us to be fully aware of the commitment and sacrifices it entails. Let us not be discouraged or hindered by the challenges and temptations along the way. Let us count the cost. Let us seize the crucial moments, and let us look ahead with unwavering commitment. Remember, looking back is holding back. Embrace the fullness of discipleship, knowing that in following Jesus, we find true life and purpose. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen us as we walk this journey of discipleship, wholeheartedly committed to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for calling us to yourself and making us disciples so that we may in turn disciple other people. We pray, O Father, for times when we've held back and we've refused to move forward and to carry others with us. Forgive us, O Father, for times when we've made excuses not to do what you call us to do. And as we repent now, we pray, O Father, that you will use us to bring glory to your most high name, as we invite others to follow you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Take my life, Lord, let it be. Hymn 502. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-living Father, we bring our offering to you, and in bringing it, we bring ourselves. Use our gifts of money and ourselves to do your work in the world. Bless these resources and the source of our income, and replenish them abundantly. Father, we bring our prayers of intercession to you as we pray for ourselves and for others. We pray now for members of our own church community. Pour out your Spirit upon us and ignite within us a fervent love for you and for one another. Grant us unity and harmony as we gather together to worship and to serve you. May our fellowship be marked by genuine care, mutual support, and encouragement. We pray for leaders of our church. Bless us with wisdom, discernment, and anointing as we guide the congregation and the parish. Grant us a deep understanding of your word and the ability to communicate it effectively. Strengthen us in our ministry that we may lead with humility, with love, and with faithfulness. We ask for your protection and provision. Guard us from the schemes of the enemy and from any division or discord. Provide for our every need, both spiritually and materially, that we may continue to be a beacon of light in our community. Father, we pray that the church would be a place of transformation and spiritual growth. May it be a source of comfort and refuge for those who are hurting, a place where lives are changed, and where people find hope and healing in Christ. Stir within the hearts of the congregation a passion for reaching out to the lost and sharing the good news of Jesus. We ask for your blessings to extend beyond the walls of the church. Empower the members of our church to be salt and light in our community. Grant us opportunities to serve the needs of others, to be a voice for justice and compassion, and to reflect your love and grace in all we do. Empower us to be true disciples in our communities. Fill our hearts with love and compassion, that we may serve the needs of others, sharing your light and truth in every interaction and encounter. Grant us wisdom and sensitivity to promptly respond to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. Help us to overcome procrastination and the spirit of laziness, that we may act promptly for the good of humanity. We lift up those who are suffering from illness, disease, or any form of physical or mental affliction. Bring your healing touch upon them, Lord, and grant them strength, comfort, and hope. Surround them with a community of support and care. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine. Bring an end to the violence and turmoil, and guide the leaders towards paths of reconciliation and understanding. Protect the innocent, bring relief to the displaced, and restore stability to the nation. We lift up the decision makers involved in supplying cluster bombs to Ukraine. Grant them wisdom and discernment that they may consider the consequences and seek peaceful solutions. We pray for a peaceful resolution to conflicts worldwide, including in Anglophone Cameroon, that justice and harmony may prevail. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers and grant us empowerment to be true disciples in our communities. May we serve selflessly, react promptly to your guidance, and possess a forward-looking spirit that aligns with your perfect plan. We also entrust to your care the sick, the procrastinators, and those affected by war. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, we have prayed. Amen. If you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. It's hymn 514. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.